Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There's something bone-chilling about what investigators found on Brian Koberger's phone. Not the kind of chilling that comes from gore or violence, but from vanity. His vanity. Hundreds of shirtless selfies, mirror shots, angles that feel less like someone just documenting their fitness program and more like a man staring at himself with worship. It was so bizarre. Investigators actually compared him to Patrick Bateman, as did we, the day that we saw that photo in the shower with his white little shirt on, looking all American Psycho-y, and I would also say Norman Batesy at the exact same time. The thumbs up. That was a Bundy nod. It's always trying to be other people. A comparison has been thrown around a lot in recent months, but when you pair it with everything else that we now know, his obsession with serial killers like Danny Rawling, his compulsive trophy taking, his eerie detachment, it starts to feel less like a joke and more like a diagnosis. But here's where it gets tricky. Vanity selfies themselves aren't unusual. Entire generations live through the lens of their front-facing cameras. So how do you separate what's normal from what's sinister? What made Koberger's mirror shot so different? Was it the timing, the context, the ritualistic element, snapping that image hours after speaking to his mother, hours after taking a drive back past the crime scene? Or was it something even darker? A way of documenting his transformation into what he believed was a killing machine. That's a conversation we're diving into here, because when you look at those images side by side with his behavior, the secrecy, the obsessive calls to mother and father, the preserved images of unconscious women, you start to see a disturbing pattern. A man who didn't just take selfies, but staged moments for himself. A man who may have treated each photo as a trophy, a private monument to whatever he had just done. And it raises the uncomfortable question, were these just pictures, or were they markers of ritual? Were they snapshots of vanity or snapshots of escalation? That's where I begin with former FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer, because the difference between just selfie and evidence of pathology is razor thin. But in Koberger's case, the line may have already been crossed. Let's get into it.
I think the reason he studied all of these killers, and there were many, although he emphasized certainly Rollins, I think, did 2 downloads of them, one about a week after, I think it was the 19th, and the other one, I think the 22nd or so of December.
Mm-hmm.
It makes so much sense to me. This is a guy who studied other people, who wanted to be good at his trade. I don't think it was so much of a gorish situation or looking at the deeds of others. It was trying to learn from the mistakes they made. How did they get caught? How did they do everything? Look, Rollins used a K-bar knife.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the knife of choice for him. So yeah. I thought it was more of a educational download of experience of what he wanted to be good at.
I want to ask you this because I found this kind of interesting when we started hearing about, oh, he took these selfies of himself in the mirror, vanity type shots. What's the difference? And I know there's a difference, but what would you say is the difference between Brian Koberger taking vanity shots and, I don't know, every female human being in the United States of certain ages that also takes vanity shots of themselves, probably far more than Brian Koberger ever took. But what is the difference between those two? Because this is not like it's a odd thing to do. I guess it's more odd to think of Brian Koberger doing it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Look, that generation in their 20s, that is what they do. They constantly, I don't care whether they're watching TV, whether they're eating, whether they're at the beach, they are doing selfies nonstop. It's the weirdest thing, but it's definitely that generation. And so from that standpoint, it's sort of expected. I think because of the situation that Brian Koberger is in, now we're looking at these selfies and they just seem so creepy. I don't know another word, like him in the mirror. I mean, obviously, listen, when you drop 100+ pounds, and I know that was earlier on, but you're really working on your physique, you're running just over 6-minute miles, you're, you know, doing kickboxing and all the other efforts he made. It seems to me he was probably just admiring how far he had come. But you combine that with what he was getting ready to do, and it does look just like he really was proud of himself and had made a killing machine, sort of, and was admiring it in the mirror.
What made me wonder a little bit about this was the one vanity shot that we all heard about early on, the one we saw, the mirror selfie, the one that I said right away, that looks like Patrick Bateman from American Psycho. And now they're going back going, oh, he was imaging, he was mirroring Patrick Bateman from American Psycho. Oh, yeah. And Psycho too, with the with just being in a shower scene, you have that, and the timing of it is the most disturbing because we know what he had just done hours before. He had also just been on the phone with mom and dad, or mainly mom, talking about God knows what, and then he takes the selfie and then goes and starts driving back to the scene on the phone with mom. I'm wondering about the other selfies and the timing of them. And I'm wondering what else he was up to in the moments prior to taking those selfies. Does that make you wonder a little bit?
Yeah, it does make me wonder, was he out prowling? Can they show that any connection between the times he did the drive-bys and the surveillance and so forth? Is there any timing matchup with those selfies? Also, I bet it was really a treasure trove to see what all he erased, you know, purchasing that software and really wiping so clean that even the FBI couldn't find so much afterwards or Cellebrite. I wish we could see what all he got rid of, because I believe he got rid of the most incriminating information. What we're seeing is what he didn't think would get him in trouble.
Yeah. And that's what I wonder about, specifically that if we had, you know, the vehicle data on where he was traveling, what he was doing, not that it's extremely matters so much anymore, but I do wonder if there had been any other crimes committed or just him breaking into homes that nobody knew about, because there was a lot of suspicion about that and moving things around, if that was kind of a ritualistic thing. I mean, the guy does kind of seem to have a ritualistic way of doing everything in his life. I would guess that maybe taking those selfies were part of the ritual. Do the thing, go take your little trophy of how strong you are after you did this and how good you think you look, and then, you know, rinse and repeat. I really wonder about that.
Yeah, I think that now we know, obviously, that selfie is so telling, the one in the shower. That's why it makes sense to jump to those possible conclusions, right? Because he did that. So if he did that in that instance, was he doing it in other instances, maybe with other sorts of crime, even voyeurism?
Yeah.
You know, things along that line. What was he doing to commemorate something that could remind him and trigger him, like a trophy, a picture he took as a trophy? So I think that makes a lot of sense that he certainly could have been doing that.
What does it tell you about the preserved women's images that are also on his phone? You know, he didn't share them. We don't even know exactly what they were, as far as I understand yet. I'm assuming they were just screenshots taken off the internet. I don't know that they were secretly taken. That would make it even creepier, but I doubt that that's how it went. Is, you know, Is there any element to Brian Koberger that's normal? I mean, I don't store random women's images on my phone, but I know guys of that age, you know, who would. You know, that's just how some guys are. Does that make it really weird? Or is it like, well, that's just, you know, I guess somewhat normal for a 20-some-year-old man that they have pictures of scantily clad women on their phone?
Well, my understanding is some of those pictures involve women scantily clad that are sleeping, that are drunk, that are not moving, that are...
That's a little weird. Know, yeah, that's not normal.
Vulnerable.
Yeah.
And like you said, really, how many people keep strangers' pictures? Mm-hmm. I think some men do, probably more actual nudes.
Yeah.
You know, but... My understanding and the reason I think it's particularly weird is because they were unconscious.
Yeah.
And that's always been the connect with him. Right. And it's so Bundy like, mm-hmm. it's so Rawlings like, because they, you know, they were definitely into total control and really Dahmer while we're at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally controlling a human, sexually, and in every way, really. That's what they did, too. So I just, can you imagine, Tony, if law enforcement wouldn't have been so amazing as to catch him within 6 weeks or so, mm-hmm. about 6 weeks. Can you imagine what he could have become? Because he did a decent job committing the crime.
Yeah.
If it weren't for one stupid move, and that was that sheet.
What's always so interesting about these characters is, I mean, when they have this MO of believing they have strength, believing they have control, because they basically have a passed out, drunk or dead victim next to them. I mean, that's just a sign of utter weakness. If the only way you're going to have any sort of interaction with a member of the opposite sex or whoever you're attracted to is when they're drunk or passed out or dead, that's not strength. That's not that's as weak as it gets. That's the only way that you're feeling anything here is when they're helpless and they have zero agency of their own. I always find that interesting. I mean, that's more psychological on the end of this, but it's fascinating how they twist that in their mind as a believed sense of control.
Well, that's because you're so normal, Tony, that you see it as such an oxymoron. But these people see it as total dominance.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to kill somebody. I don't even know what's comparable other than, you know, like an athletic world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you win your biggest championship, you can win.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that, that adrenaline rush,
sure.
where you feel like you've conquered something you never thought you could. And that's what I think that feeling has to be. And again, this is from everything we've read, everything I've studied, everything we've learned, interviews and so on. I mean, that's what it's like. It's like this euphoric state of conquering.
Mm-hmm. What stands out most from this part of the conversation isn't the selfies themselves. It's the context. Koberger took these images in a vacuum, never shared them, never posted them, just kept them like relics. When paired with the screenshots of unconscious women, the whole thing kind of shifts from vanity to pathology. It speaks to control, to dominance, to the need to preserve a version of reality only he could enjoy. And that's what makes these images so haunting. They weren't meant for us. They weren't meant for social validation. They were meant for him. Silent trophies of a man who couldn't connect to others, who couldn't function in the real world. So he built a shrine in his own camera roll of himself and his greatness. The irony is staggering. What he saw as strength, the muscle, the control, the frozen image of power was actually all weakness, because the only way he could feel strong was by capturing moments where no one could challenge him, no women rejecting him, no peers outshining him, no real human interaction to test whether he was as powerful as he imagined. Just him alone, flexing to a lens. It's a reminder of how predators, they twist reality. What looks like dominance to them is actually dependency on victims who can't fight back, on images that cannot argue, on trophies that can't expose them. And in Koberger's case, it raises a question that will never fully be answered. Were these pictures simply vanity, or were they a breadcrumb trail, little monuments to his progression into something far, far worse? Either way, they are no longer private. They're evidence, and they show us a man not admiring strength, but documenting weakness. Weakness he mistook for control. Tell me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. If you're not already there, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi and you will find us. You can do that same search wherever you download podcasts to follow us there. Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. We greatly appreciate you pressing subscribe and definitely commenting and letting us know your thoughts on this and the many cases that we cover for you right here. What do you think on all that? What do you think about those selfies? Were they more vanity? Are we reading too much into it? It's a lot of questions. And there's a lot more to come in the conversation with Jennifer Coffendaffer. So again, hit subscribe. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now. And don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.